Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us on the line is Dr. Sherry Fanaroff. Good morning. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. You, and I know this for a fact because I've been chatting to you, have had a hell of a weekend.
Morning, Howard. I think most of the GPs and possibly also specialists in Joburg have had a weekend of worried parents, lots of COVID cases, and just dealing with, you know, how do we go forward from here? What is the management plan? So it has been an incredibly busy weekend.
And very stressful, because a lot of the people that I was speaking to, just all they wanted was either to, you know, in the medical or quasi-medical or medical support areas, they were just looking forward to a little bit of a break. And it now just looks like that has been turned completely on its head.
So it, unfortunately, it is going to change people's travel plans. The Matrix have to quarantine anybody back from RAID, whether or not they are positive, have to quarantine, and it would be completely irresponsible of parents to put these kids on a plane and to move across provinces taking COVID with them where they go.
What happens if somebody, for example, came back on Friday and tests by Wednesday, let's say, of this week? The guidelines say that you need to quarantine for 10 days, or 14 days. I think you originally said 14 days. I think Professor Shub maybe said 14 days as well. I can't recall if he said 10 or 14. And then government said 10. So can you just give us the sense of that? And then also what happens after people have tested, if they've tested within that period?
Okay. There's a little bit of discrepancy in the quarantine guidelines. The safest option is to go with what Prof. Shub said, which is 14 days of quarantine for anybody who's been exposed, regardless of test result. Prof. Bloomberg, yesterday I chatted with her, and she also said 14 days. However, Department of Health did come out on their official guidelines saying 10 days. You know, the 14 days is safer because it does take a few days for the virus to incubate and then to manifest. So, you know, there we go. Somewhere between 10 and 14 days is probably reasonable.
And
if you test positive.
Before we do that, I just want to be clear on this. Okay. Where do we count that from? Do we count it from the last time somebody had contact with somebody at RAID?
So that would be your last exposure. So if you came back on Friday and you were still with a bunch of kids on Friday, Saturday would be your day one, and you should be counting 14 days from Saturday.
All right. Got it. Okay. Let's carry on with the test.
So if you do test positive within that time, isolation time actually for somebody who's tested positive who is asymptomatic would be 10 days of isolation from getting a positive test result if you're asymptomatic. Or if you have mild symptoms, it would be 10 days from the onset of your mild symptoms.
So that's very important. And are you recommending that every kid who went on RAGE should be tested?
So it's not the NRCD guideline to do so. I think in Joburg, if you can afford a test and you have access to tests, and as far as I'm aware at the moment, there's not really a shortage of tests, I think it's reasonable to test matrix who are returning. However, a negative test, and I really want to reiterate that, I don't care if the test is negative, you still have to quarantine. It could be a false negative. We do get false negatives. It could just be too early. Maybe you were exposed on Friday or Saturday's party, and you're only actually going to get COVID this week, Friday or Saturday. You came back, you had a negative test, doesn't mean that you're not a risk to people around you.
Right.
So, my opinion is that it's reasonable to test, and I can tell you a number of matrix who are tested yesterday without symptoms but with known positive contacts in their room have in fact tested positive. And then it does change the management for them a little bit. So, you know, in my opinion, it's reasonable. That's not the general NRCD opinion, which is basically to quarantine and to test if you get symptoms.
Right. But you're saying if you can afford it, if you can afford to have the test, if you have access to it, have the kid tested.
I think it's reasonable because it changes the management a little bit. It makes everyone who's been in contact with you a definite contact.
Absolutely.
As opposed to a contact of a contact.
Right, right. But if you get a negative result, don't assume that you are negative.
You absolutely can't. As the health minister said, as Prof. Shoup said yesterday, as NICD are saying, you have to quarantine regardless of your test result.
Let's just talk about what quarantine means to these kids, because now they're going to come home to families and perhaps they've actually said hello to the families or just been in contact for a few minutes. Then this information starts coming out. What happens within that dynamic of the family?
So if they've been in close contact with family members, and just to go over that, a close contact would mean that they've been in contact within a meter and a half for a 15-minute period over 24 hours. Then those family members become contacts if the patient tests positive, or if they've got symptoms. So ideally, if the kids are at home, they need to be in their rooms as far as possible, or if they are interacting with the family, they need to have masks on, preferably a surgical mask. They need to stay 2 meters away. They need to not be eating together with the family, because obviously masks aren't on when you're eating. Ideally, for interactions, it should be outside and at a distance and with masks. And then in that way, we're trying to protect the families.
Right. And a lot of questions around kids having flown home. That is a very serious problem. If somebody's positive and they're in Umhlanga, they cannot get on a plane, I would imagine.
They cannot. Unfortunately, I think many positive kids have flown home. That's done. We need to move on from that. If you knowingly are positive and on a plane, you know, that really is completely negligent. So kids who are still in Umhlanga who are either symptomatic or positive, if they want to get back to Joburg, they need to get somebody to drive them back. And then knowing, obviously, that whoever drives them back becomes a contact. Mm. But you cannot get on a plane with COVID or with COVID symptoms. And in fact, even kids who are exposed and in quarantine shouldn't be getting on planes. They should be driven back.
Hmm. Ansan says, if someone was in Umhlanga but never went to any of the rage parties, are they okay? Well, I would imagine that goes back to your close contact story. So if you were in Umhlanga and you didn't have close contact with somebody.
So being in Umhlanga itself wouldn't qualify you as suddenly being a contact. But certainly if you attended any parties, if you were with large groups of people, if your mask was off, if you were in any situation with a bunch of people, obviously that would make you a contact who should quarantine. Mm. Just being in Umhlanga obviously doesn't make you a contact.
And I think more important than anything is that this requires us to be honest. And I'm getting a lot of messages, well, why am I so quick to judge the Satma funeral where thousands gathered, but I'm not quick to judge this? It's not that I'm not judging this. I wrote an article 2 weeks ago in the paper to say we do judge. That's how we make good decisions and bad decisions. We say some things aren't for us and some behaviors are for us. All I'm trying to say is that if we allow ourselves the anger, disappointment, horror and frustration around rage can consume us. I'm saying I would like to try and put that aside so that we can find the constructive way forward. We've got a situation. We've got a potentially disastrous situation. Let's just find the way forward. Take the anger and the frustration, leave it aside and come back to it at a later stage. There's plenty time to ask the question, why did rage happen and why did parents allow their kids to go on rage? We spoke about it many times on the show. David Abramson, the psychologist, came on the show and he said, just say no. We've been very clear. I never let my kids go on rage. My son is at that age, so I'm very clear on my view on this. I just don't think it's helpful for us to be beating parents and beating up children who are going through a very stressful time. Sherry, what's your view on that?
I completely agree with you on that, Howard. Nobody sent their kids on rage expecting them to come home, and I know that sounds stupid, but I can tell you I've interacted with a lot of parents. They thought that, and, you know, wrongly, and it's very easy afterwards to say, you know, how could you not have known? Of course we knew, but the parents sent them hoping that protocols were in place, hoping they would wear masks, hoping the places would observe the limits. So none of the parents sent their kids on rage to get COVID and come home. So now we've got a group of really worried matric parents, of some sick kids, of some asymptomatic kids, but it does take a few days to manifest symptoms. We don't know who's going to get really sick. We don't know who they're going to get it to. So I completely agree with you. We need to move forward from here. Parents need to take responsibility from here to not let this thing spread further and get completely out of hand into the community. So that's what matric parents can do. You know, what's done is done. Many, many, many kids went on rage. I think it was a hard thing to say no to matrix, you know, who've had a really tough year. So it's complicated. And for whatever reasons that they sent them, it's done, they're back, they've got COVID, let's be responsible going forward.
And science says, is it safe, do you think, for us to go to Umhlanga this week? No one has comorbidities. Is Umhlanga going to be considered a hotspot? Or does the fact that people actually got it there but are leaving reduce that? It's a bit confusing.
Yeah, it's difficult to know. You know, I've said often to people over the last few weeks, it's not places as such that are a problem. It's people. So wherever you are going, if you can, you know, behave in a way that you are not in crowded places, you're not eating in restaurants, you're in your own space, in your own bubble, and you're not exposing yourself, you're wearing your mask, you're washing your hands, the place itself is not where you're going to get COVID. Obviously, when there are more cases in a place, that place does become higher risk because anybody that you come into contact with is a potential risk. But if you can go on holiday to a place where you can stay in your own bubble. Space, where you can behave in an appropriate manner, you know, then I think it's okay. So that's, people have to do a risk benefit analysis. People with lots of comorbidities perhaps are better off staying home this year. Everyone needs to make the decision for themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's a very smart way of looking at it, is each family has got to look at their own circumstances and say, what risks do we have inherently within us? And now let's look at where we're going and say, can we manage
and
those?
And I think one problem with where one is going, which does need to be considered, is that the hospital infrastructure potentially could be problematic. And you may not be able to get home to Gauteng. So if you are at risk, you know, to go to a hotspot area where there may not be a hospital bed for you, you really need to consider that very carefully.
Yeah, that is most definitely something to think about. A lot of people asking, would you be concerned now around flying? Would it be better to just cancel the whole thought of flying and rather drive?
It's a tough one to answer. You know, why driving appeals is that, you know, if you're in your own car and you needed to come back to Gauteng, you could potentially do so. If you don't have a car, you cannot get on a plane and cross provinces. You know, strictly speaking, if you've got COVID, you shouldn't really cross provinces in your car either. Yeah. You may not be well enough to.
Right.
The flying itself, you know, aeroplanes, if things are done properly, are not a massive risk because they have the special HEPA filters, etc. But, you know, obviously one is sitting in close contact with people on a plane. There are quite a lot of studies that have looked at planes where everybody was masked and, you know, behaving appropriately, and the transmission on those flights have been very low to negligible. So it's a difficult one to answer.
And again, I think each person must look at their own circumstances and
if
make those decisions.
If you are going on a plane, you need to wear the best mask that you can. At a minimum, a surgical mask. If you have an N95 mask accessible, that's an option also. And the risk around flying is more in the airport and in the contact with people lining up to get on the plane because the filters aren't on at that stage, getting off the plane, you know, luggage carriers where people are crowded together. Those are the more risky situations than actually sitting in your seat with your mask on the plane.
Dr. Sherry Fanaroff, can you just give us a quick summary before I let you go on families with kids who have returned from rage? I know that we went through it in little bits and pieces, but let's just run through it and say to parents, this is what you recommend they do.
Okay, so if the kids are asymptomatic, they need to quarantine for 10 to 14 days. if they have access to a test, I would suggest testing, but please contact your own GPs to discuss that. If you test positive, you need to isolate for a 10-day period. If the kids are positive, you need to notify Hatsola, you need to notify the COVID app, you need to notify your GP and get a management plan from your GP in terms of what medications you should or shouldn't be taking, which vitamins to take, how to monitor, looking at heart rate and oxygen levels and breathing rates. Your GPs will guide you on that. And, you know, the most important thing really is to try not to let this get beyond the matric group into the parents and into the grandparents. And that really is the crucial point here. It's gone a step too far, yes, but we can stop it from spiraling completely out of control, completely dependent on our behavior as a community.
Absolutely well said. Dr. Sherry Fanrow, thank you for all of the work that you're doing, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning.
Thanks, Howard.